down low. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to What Time Is It? The first live international web radio show about watches and the people who love them. I'm your host, Jerome Pinault, speaking to you live from Switzerland today. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is a live call-in show. Our number is area code 760-683-2652. 760-683-2652 if you want to talk to our guest. And you're listening to the only live horology show where you, our listeners, get to call in and talk to watch industry movers and shakers one-on-one. Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. And today we have a very, very interesting brand on, an independent brand, kind of a UFO type of brand, as I like to call them. It was founded in 2007, I believe, by a gentleman called Lionel Ladoire, and the brand is named after him. So it's called Ladoire. And I believe they presented their first designs in 2008 and their first watch at Basel in 2009, so it's fairly recent. And Lionel comes from France. He's from the jewelry world, actually. And he's also kind of a special dude because he's really cool. He's also into punk rock and music. I believe he's into surfing as well. And he's an absolutely awesome designer, a great human being. I was actually lucky enough to meet him about a year ago. And I was also lucky to meet Richard Piras, who actually runs the company and who's online with us today from Geneva. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Hello, Jerome, everybody. I'm very fine.
Thanks for thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me and giving me the opportunity also to talk about Ladoire.
No problem. So we got Richard on today. Lionel, unfortunately, does not master English, so he's not going to speak with us directly, but Richard is going to do that for us. So, Richard, let me ask you, first of all, what's your role at Ladoire exactly? What do you do for them, and how did you get involved in this?
I met Lionel 5 years ago. He's an old friend of my wife, and he explained to me what's his vision in the watchmaking industry. And then I tried to help him to do his first prototype. And then the market was quite attractive at that time. And then we decided in 2007 to launch a brand around his ideas.
Okay.
Actually, I'm the managing director of the company. And
okay.
I'm in charge of finance and marketing in the company.
Gotcha. And what's your background? You don't come from horology, right?
Actually, I have a degree in engineering, production engineering, and I studied 5 years this engineering stuff in France. Afterwards,
okay.
I was in charge in a consulting company of financing and funding a technological company in different areas such as satellite, biotechnologies, a lot of things that
okay.
are very cutting-edge technologies. Afterwards, I wanted to run my own business, and the meeting with Lionel was so strong and so nice that we decided to go together for this nice story of Ladoire brand.
Very nice. And so, tell me about, is he really a good punk musician? What's the story with that?
About Ladoire, Lionel Ladoire?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, Lionel.
Really is a really good drum player. He learned drum 15 years ago, and he did some good and great things when he was in Canada.
Okay.
They have a nice and very strong culture of music there. So he played with a nice band and also registered some album there. And afterwards, he came back to his own, to his first work in jewelry and goldsmithing. Set up his company in France when he came back from Canada in 2001, and
right.
Tried to run his own business in jewelry and goldsmithing there. And,
right.
He had a vision for watchmaking for a long time because Also, one part of his family is, was in the field of mechanics. So, association of goldsmiths and mechanics makes sense for the watchmaking. You see.
Yep, yep, absolutely. But he's I think music has inspired a lot of his designs, if I'm not wrong, right?
You're right. Actually, it's quite difficult to explain because music is something that is really not unmaterial.
Right.
But all along his vision of design for watchmaking, music is really something that inspired him.
Cool.
Mainly rock, hard rock, also rap, all this kind of music.
Yeah, he's on YouTube, actually. It's pretty cool. If our listeners like this type of music, you should really check him out, I think. So before we dive a little bit into the product, talk to me a little bit about the team at Ledwell. Watchmakers, marketing, I mean, who's around, who's doing what, what's the size, and how'd you put these people together?
So the team is quite small because we are a brand new company. At the moment, we are six people hired in the company, and we are working with a network of also of suppliers that bring us a lot of know-how in the watchmaking process. The concept of Ladoire, the main concept of our brand and timepieces, is to provide exclusive timepieces with exclusive design. Something that is really unique in terms of design, but also in terms of mechanics, as we are doing our own movement.
Right.
So we have a master watchmaker, Frédéric Henoux. He comes from two major, let's say, brands, Frank Muller and Harry Winston, and mainly Harry Winston, where he learned how to manage the high complications. So
right.
For us, it makes a lot of sense to have this kind of know-how within the company. So Lionel Ladoire, of course, co-founder with me of the company, is in charge of the design, production management also, and all the technical management for the movement, for the complications, and for all this all the production. And also is in charge of course, the communication, because all the content and what the Ladoire universe is in the mind of Lionel, so he's also in charge of parts for the company.
Right.
We have other people in charge of the marketing, in charge of production, that people that help us to set up a nice tool for the management of the production, and also for the marketing. We just hired one month ago a new person, Joanna, joined us to improve the marketing communication process.
Right. Yeah, actually, I was very lucky to meet her and your watchmaker in Geneva when you invited me down there. I think a month ago, whatever. And it was really interesting to see that. You guys really do everything from A to Z over there. It's all house-made, isn't it? In-house, I mean.
Exactly. Exactly. In-house.
That's amazing.
We started to do our own movement. This movement was actually not really done from scratch because we are working with Philippe Rudin, who is a movement engineer. This guy, previously we set up the company, worked 5 or 6 years on the development, the design and development of the of what we call it the caliber. So it means the gear train and all these very technical things in the movement. And afterwards, we gave him our specifications for our own movement. So he developed the movement for us, so the self-winding movement with the micro rotor. And we industrialized it and make it reliable and put it on the market with quite good success.
Nice. Yep, and so what I think is really cool about the Ladoire is they look nothing like a watch. I mean, they're kind of, you know, no, but it's true. But I say that with admiration. They look like a TV screen from the Jetsons. The crown is inverted. Just reading the time on it takes a couple of minutes of training. They're just magnificent when you look at them, and I think it's one of those things that you can't look at this and you either fall in love with it right away or you're like, I don't get it. But in terms of the movement and the you know, what's inside the you know, in terms of the engine and everything, I believe you guys use micro rotors, ceramic ball bearings. I mean, there's a lot of innovation in there, a lot of very difficult things to engineer. How did you come up with that, or how do you manage the complexity, and do you need to train people to do this, or how does it work?
We are using a network of people that are really experts in their domain. So, for instance, for the micro ball bearing, we are working with a Swiss company, and I can say that they are the leader of the micro ball bearing, because we cannot find anywhere else in the world. I tried to in the United States, in Germany, in France, in Australia. I went everywhere to find a company or expertise in micro ball bearing, and actually the only one that really have the expertise that we really need for the micro ball bearing is in Bern, in Switzerland. So hopefully it's in Switzerland, so that's good.
Good for you, wasn't in Australia.
I tried to find one in Australia, because they have a quite nice industry there, such as in the United States, of course. But no one was able to provide us this kind of micro ball bearing in the quantity we need, because usually when you want to work with people in the ball bearing industry, they just do not consider any order as far as you don't order millions of ball bearing. You see what
right,
I mean?
Right. Yeah, of course.
Is not the range of of volume we want to deal with.
Right.
And also for the ball bearing, we're working with this company. For the movement, we're working with Philippe Prudin, he's our movement engineer. And you see, all in all, we are always working with the best expertise, the best know-how that will bring us reliability. Good management, good technical development, and so on.
Sure. So how long does it take you to develop one of your pieces?
Actually, it was quite long, because all in all, from the moment we set up the company, we needed only 2 years to develop, industrialize, make it reliable and market the products. But before we set up the company, we already did a lot of work, development work, technical development, I mean, so that when we just decided to set up the company, we were already aware that, technically speaking, it was possible. So all in all, it took about 3 years to set up everything, in terms of movement development, complication development, and so on.
Wow.
For the second collection, we only needed 1 year to make the developments, because we reused a lot of know-how we already developed in the first development.
Okay, that makes sense. How many parts to a movement in La Douar?
In the first collection, so the RGT, we have about 470 pieces in the head of the watch.
Wow.
So quite a lot. And all in all, the watch with the buckle, that is also very specific, the straps and everything, in the RGT, you have 515 parts.
All right.
And within that, I don't count all the balls of the micro ball bearing. You see, in the micro ball bearing, the bigger one, well, you have 127 bolts. So I don't even count them in the 515 parts.
Wow, does that make the watches fragile in any way? Do they have to be treated differently than a more standard mechanism?
Not at all, because the micro ball bearing is something that is really, really, really strong, and it can bear a lot of mechanical constraints. So, and also because it's lubricant-free, it doesn't need any maintenance. So it sounds very good for the watchmaking, because lubricant is always something that you try to avoid in a watch.
Yep. And how many units per year do you guys do approximately?
Last year we did less than 100 pieces.
Okay.
And we want to remain very exclusive in terms of production and offer we are doing. So just to give you some figures for the RGT, The first collection we launched on the market in 2009. We only have for each model a limit in the numbers, and the highest was 88. But from now, we decided to do even smaller limited series. And
right.
For instance, with the Black Widow collection, we only have 12 pieces for each model.
Wow. And give me an idea of the price range on those, your entire collections.
So for the RGT collection, the price point is 108,000 Swiss francs, so roughly, let's say, $110,000.
Right.
And for the Black Widow collection, the price point is $61,000.
Ah, so that's much lower, actually.
Yeah, we try to enlarge the range of clientele, and offering something that is, let's say, not cheaper, but a bit less expensive.
Right. I guess you can buy two of them, like just one of them equivalent to one of them of the original collection. So that's pretty cool. Hey, I wanted to talk to you also about we were talking about maintenance, actually, and that's interesting to me because one thing I learned when I came down to you to see you guys in Geneva. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys offer a lifetime warranty with all your watches?
Yeah, you're right. We call it a 2-plus warranty because when you purchase a watch of La Doire, then you have a 2-year warranty. And as far as you do the service every 2 years, then we extend the warranty for 2 more years.
That's pretty awesome.
And as far as you are doing it every 2 years, then it's extended by 2 years. So
right.
Actually, it's quite nice to offer this kind of warranty because for the customer, I mean, because it ensures that the timepiece will always be reliable. And also when we offer this warranty, we offer some warranty that we won't keep the watch for 6 months. It is quite usual sometimes with highly complicated watches.
Yeah.
So it's quite short. So it's with the shipment plus the maintenance in the workshop, it's about 1 month. That's it.
Wow.
And afterwards, for us, it's quite important because as we are providing our own movement, it gives us some clues about the way that our movements behave on the long term and what kind of parts must be replaced for free in the frame of the warranty case that the wear is too high. And it gives us some knowledge about the behavioring of our movements and also knowledge that helps us to improve it on the long term.
Okay. And for the customers, it's pretty cool because I think that's pretty unique. I don't know that. I wouldn't say that nobody else does that, but I haven't heard of anybody else who lifetime warranty. Usually they're 2 years and then you're on your own. So that's pretty cool.
It shows also that we are quite sure that the timepieces we provide and we sell are reliable. Because sometimes in the watchmaking industry, and I know it because I'm also a watch lover, you take a highly complicated watch and it doesn't work. So it's really
That's a bummer.
So that's the reason why we provide this warranty also to our customers.
Yep, sounds great. And let's talk a little bit about the customer since you mentioned that. I always ask what's the typical customer, but it's kind of a silly question because the answer is obviously somebody who can afford this, but and somebody who appreciates really high-level fine horology. Are we talking mostly collectors, or do you get people from all walks of life who just kind of fall on their knees and just love the piece and have to have it, or are there people who are already trained, who already know horology inside out typically?
Some of our clients are collectors. I mean, the clients that I know personally because they purchase from the company.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, we also have some either agents or retailers that represent La Doire on different territories in the world. But for territories where we don't have any agents or distributors, then I know some customers. So, for instance, like in Japan at the moment. And these guys are collectors, and they really appreciate the way that we provide cutting-edge technology and a new design, very unique. This is what they love. But let's say that, generally speaking, our clients is someone that is in between 35 and, let's say, 60 years old is male, obviously. For our first collection, it's quite difficult to be a lady and to want to try to wear RGT because it's quite quite big.
Yeah, you got to be a big gal.
Yeah.
You have those. You do have those. Yep.
Sometimes, exactly. But I don't know if we sold to ladies, I don't know them. Maybe through our retailers, but I don't have the input about that. The typical profile of our client is someone that's really really wants to buy, to purchase goods that are really aesthetic, that provides emotion. And they buy our watches like in an art gallery, they would buy a sculpture, a painting.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because it gives them really something that is really emotional.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that. So I want to talk a little bit about markets and surviving as an independent brand, which you guys are, obviously. You managed to sail through the past years, which were, I guess, considered crisis years for the industry. It's still not, you know, firing on all cylinders necessarily. I just wanted to ask you, as an independent, given the increasing consolidation we're seeing in the industry, you know, like LVMH just, you know, kind of bought out Bulgari, and these big consortiums are getting bigger and bigger. How does it affect a small independent brand like La Douar? Do you guys see that as a danger, as an opportunity, as both? I mean, what's your outlook on that, and where the industry is going for independence?
Quite difficult to tell you because for two reasons. First, because the crisis restructured a lot the distribution channel all over the world.
Okay.
And before, you could easily go through the retailers, whereas today it's a bit more difficult. So we still find retailers all over the world that wish to be our partners. Generally speaking, there is before and after the crisis about this distribution channel. So the question about this bigger and bigger group in the watch industry, how is it a threat? Or I don't know. Actually, there are big players and they are key players on the market, and we are not really competing with them because first we don't have the same size. Second, because we don't provide the same kind of products. And also because we don't really use the same channel as they use, so we are aside them, and we are not comparable in terms of turnover, in terms of power,
sure,
or know-how, and whatever. So
sure,
we compete with our strengths, and our first aim is to provide on the market goods and watches, timepieces that first we love, and we believe that our clients it will bring some emotions to our client.
Sure.
And this is quite different process to market products than the other big name and big brands.
Right. And so in terms of distribution, can people purchase La Douar in retail locations? And if so, where do I go in different markets?
So our distribution network today is quite wide because we have, for instance, an agent, a distributor in the United States. He's located in New York, and from January we have a partnership with a retailer that is in Miami,
okay,
in Florida, exquisite timepieces. And elsewhere in the world, we also have retailers in Qatar. We also work with Laurent Picciotto Chronopassion in France, in Paris, with Chronometry in London, and so on and so forth, and also with Europe Watch in Macau and Hong Kong. So you see, we have quite nice partnership, people that are really good experts in the marketing of high-end timepieces on their market. And that's doing quite a nice work for us in terms of brand awareness, selling, and also people that are able to explain what kind of timepiece it is and how to read the time.
Right, obviously. Cool. Hey, but so for a small brand like you guys, you certainly have a very loud marketing voice. You guys are doing some awesome stuff. You had the Black Widow campaign. Talk to us shortly a little bit about that. Who came up with the concept? How's it been working out for you guys? I mean, it's pretty original. Not too many brands are out there like that marketing-wise. I think it's cool. What do you say?
Actually, we try to be original at all level of the company, of all process in the company. Because the first assessment we had with Lionel before we set up the company was how boring are all these marketing campaign, all these products on them. For our generation of people, we said, oh, each time we go to any kind of retailer, we don't feel that we have something really exciting. So we want to really to provide something exciting in terms of product, in terms of campaigns, in terms of content, in terms of universe of the brand. So that's the reason why we try to do our best to promote our timepieces through innovative and original campaign. So the idea of the Black Widow came from the idea of providing something that's an offering to our clients, something that is really seductive, attracting, and the spider, you know, this Black Widow spider,
yeah,
is for us something that is quite amazing because somehow it's seductive, but it's really dangerous.
It's deadly, right? Because she ends up killing these people. Or the pieces. So what's the message behind that? If you buy
behind that, the message is that if you're man enough to wear a Black Widow timepiece, either Mr. Green or Mr. Race, you might face a situation where your wife or the people around you might kill you to get it. This is the main main message. You see. So that's the main message we have in this campaign. That's the reason why we did this this quite stunning campaign with the Black Widow. So for us, the question is not to put, let's say, a spider close to besides a watch. For us, it's to bring a message of emotion. To let you know that once you wear this watch because you love it. Probably other people, and also because it's a very limited production, only 12, all other people that really want to have it might do anything to get it.
Got it. And so that hot chick who's doing the Black Widow, is she going to be at Basel by any chance? At La Douleur? Will people be able to go there and see her?
We will be in Basel in all 4.1, and the lady that is in the last campaign will be there only one day. So
she's different. Were there two different Black Widows, or is there just one?
We have two different Black Widows.
One
for the first campaign, Mr. Green, because Mrs. Green is supposedly the wife of Mr. Green.
Right.
Different from the Mrs. Green that supposedly to be the wife of Mr. Race.
Right.
So for the two campaigns, we had different Black Widows. And the idea of having a collection called the Black Widow is also to have a collection of Black Widows, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's beautiful what you're doing with the colors. That green on the I'm kind of biased because I saw the thing. I wore it, and I was like, oh, wow, this is so, so awesome. But the green, the Mr. Green is really gorgeous. I love it. Listen, I want to get this quick question in because I've heard rumors you guys are pretty friendly with Jörg Heisek. Anything going on with that, design-wise, anything you can share with us?
You mean in terms of to unveil any confidential project we have with others?
Perhaps a collaboration of some sorts that could happen in the future, perhaps not. I'm just asking. I'm just poking around.
Actually, with Jörg Heisek, we have a very close relationship because we are doing a lot of things. They help us a lot for many things, and we try also to give them what we can in terms of creation or movement or whatever. Actually, there is nothing that is actually going a step forward for the moment, but we always try to set up some collaboration with them because we have a close relationship and the same spirit in terms of creation of what.
Lots of good human beings in there and lots of talent, so I could see a good match there. Thank you, Richard. Tell us a little bit now. We got 30 seconds left. I'm running a little bit late here. You guys are very, very big on social media. Where can people reach you? On what channels? Give us the website, the Facebook, the Twitter, all the usual suspects, would you?
So they can all have all the information about La Douleur on www.ladouleur.com or ladouleur.ch. For any information, they can come to Basel Ward also in Basel end of March to meet Earth All 4.1. We will be very happy to welcome them. And for anything else, we are preparing two other collections for the end of the year and beginning of 2012. And for our very close partner, we will also unveil some sketches and pictures about that.
Awesome. And you guys are on Facebook and Twitter as well under Ladoir or Ladoir Genève, so people can find you pretty much anywhere. Thank you so much, Richard. I really enjoyed our talk. Thank you for spending
the
time sharing this with us. And I guess I'll see you at Basel in a couple of weeks.
Okay. See you there.
Thank you, my friend, and thank you to Lionel as well, okay?
Okay.
Take care. All righty, folks. That was really cool. Richard is a really good guy, really interesting dude, really cool. Hey, Jerome Pinot here. My website, Jerome Pinot, PINEAU.com. I'm a social media strategist in the luxury industry. Check out our What Time Radio website, whattimeradio.com. Find us on Facebook. Next week, we have two really interesting guests. They are in the watch industry. They're on the journalistic / blogger side, however. I was lucky enough to get some time from Elizabeth Dorr and Ben Clymer, Hodinkee. Next week, they'll be with us the week before Basel, of course. And we'll be chatting with both of them next week, same time and same channel. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And have a great end of week. And we'll talk to you soon.
Time.